next on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
He is coming. He's coming back to our earth in a different form, in a different way than he came when he came as a baby, but he is coming. There's going to be a moving day, folks, from my house to his house. He's going to come and help me move. He's going to come and get me. I'll come back. I'm coming again, he says.
Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe looks at the parables of Jesus to show you how to live each day prepared for his return. But first, it's easy to be frightened by what's happening in our world. But God's Word offers prophetic insight into what the future holds and reminds us who holds the future. We want to help you unravel the mystery of biblical prophecy and grasp its profound relevance for today's events by sending you Pete Briscoe's new 6-message teaching series on the end times called How the Story Ends. It's our way to thank you for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others experience life in Christ. But today is the last day of this special offer. So call now to get your copy of How the Story Ends when you give and discover how you can be encouraged even in these chaotic times. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Now, here's Jill Briscoe with her timely message, Waiting for Jesus.
Now, I would like you to turn to the parable that we'll be addressing, and we're going to read it, although I will not talk about it until right at the end of the talk. I want to talk about a lot of other things before we get there. But if you turn to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 25, I've already taught on a couple of things from this chapter, the talents, gifts and talents, touched on the sheep and the goats. But I want to go back to the parable of the 10 virgins, because the context of this parable is the second coming, the parousia, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, the kingdom of heaven, says Jesus, reading from 25:1 of Matthew, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but didn't take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Number one, he's coming. Number two, he's coming soon. And number three, you better be ready. Number one, he's coming. Number two, he's coming soon. And number three, you better be ready. And that was discovered, and I haven't changed my mind about it. Those are the three most important things about the second coming of Jesus. He's coming, no doubt about it. He's coming soon, no doubt about it. And you better be ready, no doubt about that. Now, the first verse Peter and I found was in John 14, 1-3. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." Now, in the old King James that we read, in my father's house are many mansions. But in most of the translations you will probably have that you're reading from at the moment, you'll have "in my Father's house are many rooms." The word is abode, abiding place, literally. In my Father's house there are many abiding places or abodes. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I love the New Living Translation. When everything is ready, I'll come and get you. I love that. When everything is ready, says Jesus, I'll come and get you. And I love the message, Eugene Peterson's The Message. I am coming again to welcome you into my own home. I am coming again to welcome you into my own home. The Message says this, there is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. So you can live where I live. Now, that's the first thing that we excitedly discovered. He is coming. He's coming back to our earth in a different form, in a different way than he came when he came as a baby, but he is coming. There's going to be a moving day, folks, from my house to his house. He's going to come and help me move. He's going to come and get me. I'll come back. I'm coming again, he says. I love this idea of many rooms in this big house. My Father's house, there are many rooms. I love that picture. And I'm going to prepare a very special room for you. When you and I get to our room in his house, he will show you the room he's got ready for you. Nobody will ever have slept there. And your name will be there. This is your room. This is your room. This is my room. What grace. He's coming. He's coming to get us. In my Father's house are many rooms. And I'm going to come and get you so you can live where I am. This big house. Heaven is like a big, big house, and in it are many abiding places. So, he's coming. When is he coming? Well, the Bible says in Mark 13:32, he's coming soon, but nobody knows how soon is soon. All we know is we're on the way to soon. Okay? We're on the way to soon. Nobody knows when soon will arrive. Maybe today, maybe tonight, maybe before I finish this talk. Wouldn't that be fun? But we are on the way to soon. No one knows, Mark 13:32 to 37, about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, says Jesus. I don't know when I'm coming back. One of the Father's secrets, and he's not telling anyone. Be on your guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Keep watch. You do not know when the owner of the house, who's left the servants in control, will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Eugene Peterson, you don't want him showing up unannounced with you asleep on the job. You don't want him showing up unannounced with you asleep on the job. He is coming soon. Only the Father knows. So don't try to unscrew the unscrutable, like most people are doing at the moment. Just watch. Be alert. Be on guard. If you think you've figured it out, you haven't. Because the Bible says, at such an hour as you think not. So if you think you know, then he's not coming then. Because in such an hour as you think not, he's going to come. So he's coming soon, and we had better be ready. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1-10. Paul is commending the Thessalonians for their faithful work, loving deeds, and their endurance inspired by hope. Often the second coming is called our blessed hope. Now, hope means a continual anticipation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope, usually confidence, this huge confidence, this word hope is used most times in the Bible when it talks about the return of Jesus, the return of Jesus. Now, when Stuart and I worked in a youth center in Britain, a bishop of the Church of England, a wonderful man of God, was to visit us. And a German girl on staff who'd worked hard to prepare for this event and whose English was very minimal, was to greet him at the front door and alert us as when he came. Well, the time came and she invited him in, but then totally overwhelmed, he was there with his beautiful robes and all in his regalia. And in total confusion and joy, she ran ahead of him up and down all the corridors in that beautiful castle that was our youth center to all of us who are putting the last touches to the meal table, shouting, "My Lord is come! My Lord is come!" I can still hear her. And she burst into the room with a rather startled bishop in her train. And I remember her eyes were bright and her feet were dancing and she was just so excited. And I remember thinking at the time, that should be my attitude. I'd watch that girl get ready and keep looking out the window. Is he coming? Is the Lord Bishop coming? Is the Lord Bishop coming? And when that man arrived, there was none more excited than her. Well, if for a bishop, what about for Jesus Christ himself when he comes?
That's Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. She's headed right back to God's Word for more on how you can live each day prepared for Christ's return. But before we dive back in, the new series from Pete Briscoe, How the Story Ends, unravels the mystery of biblical prophecy to share what God's Word says about the chaotic times we're living in and how you can be encouraged about how the story will end. This 6-message teaching series is our way to say thanks for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others experience life in Christ. But today is the last day of this special offer. So call now to get your copy of How the Story Ends. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or get it online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's hear from Jill Briscoe.
Now, in Matthew 25, if you'll turn to Matthew 25, the context of this parable is interesting. Let me just tell you what's been happening in the Olivet Discourse. Jesus has been teaching in the temple. He'd been defending himself against hostile attacks by the chief priests and elders of the people. He's taught through the parables, as was his habit. He's taught about taxes to Caesar, whether there will be marriage after the resurrection. He's fended off verbal traps set by the Sadducees and the lawyers. And for a whole chapter, chapter 23, he lambasts the Pharisees, calling them blind leaders of the blind, snakes and a brood of vipers. And he's asked them in verse 33 of 23, "How will you escape being condemned to hell?" So there are no punches being withheld here. He ends up his great discourse with verses 37 to 39, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" He leaves the temple area, verse 1 of 24, was walking away from this when his disciples came to him to call his attention to the buildings. And he said, "You see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And the rest of the chapter deals with two events. One event, the end of the age and the culmination of everything in the judgment, and the other, the destruction of Jerusalem, which also prefigures the huge crisis that will happen just before he comes again. Now, as we look at Matthew, and I want to look at this for a minute as a backdrop to this parable, when we read words like the end of the age, it's used 6 times in Matthew, it's always used in connection with the final judgment and the consummation of all things. This is a coming crisis that the whole world faces. There is no doubt about it. The coming crisis is the final judgment and the consummation of all things. Jesus uses in this chapter a picture of birth. He says, when a woman goes into labor pains, you know there's a baby going to be born. You also know there's two stages of labor. And Jesus begins to talk about the labor pains that will begin as soon as the destruction of Jerusalem happens, which happened in the lifetime of some of the apostles. As soon as the destruction of Jerusalem finished, from then till now, or till the end of the age, there will be birth pains. And most biblical scholars believe we are in the second stage of labor. Now, where we are, you know how long it can take to have a baby. Where we are, we do not know. But most people believe the first stage is over, and the birth of the kingdom of heaven is on its way. That's what most people believe. The labor pains will indicate the baby's on its way. And Jesus begins to talk about some of those birth signs, the clues. They said, give us a clue, give us a sign. Now I want to run through these, just stick with me and I'll point them out to you. Number one, would-be deliverers will come along. Look in verse 5. Many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. We've seen that in our time anyway, haven't we? Many people saying, literally, I am the deliverer, I am the Christ. Two, wars and rumors of wars. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And then he adds, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Remember who he's talking to. He's talking to the disciples and the apostles before the destruction of Jerusalem. So the birth pains, first stage labor, have begun even before, in a sense, Christ is crucified. It is all beginning to happen. So he says to them, but don't be alarmed, it's not going to happen yet. This is the beginning of things. Famines, number three, and earthquakes. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And then in verse 8, this is only the beginning. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come, verse 6. Now then, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. And more of the same of the things that he'd been talking about are going to start to happen from then till now. For example, number four, persecution. Persecution started in the first century after the destruction of Jerusalem in big time. It will continue and get worse till the second coming. Look at verse 10. Many, therefore, will turn away from the faith. They will betray and hate each other. Verse 10. That's a clue. Number five, many false prophets, cults, religious orders, old and new. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Next one, the gospel will be preached around the world. The gospel of this kingdom will be preached in the whole world. Verse 14. To all nations, and then the end will come. Then the end will come. And of course, most people that try to figure out how far through labor we are has said for my lifetime, well, the gospel hasn't been preached to every tribe and tongue and nation. But what does that mean? Did it mean to, when Jesus said it, to every nation as they knew it? Well, that's happened. Or did he mean to every nation as we know them? How many more nations are there now than there were when Jesus was there? What does that mean? Take it at its face value, what he said. The gospel of this kingdom will be preached in the whole world. Then will the end come. And when we were at Lausanne Convention in the Philippines, a great evangelical convention that gathered leaders from all over the world, the three biggest radio outreaches got together, Far East Broadcasting, Transworld Radio, and HCJB, which are the three big evangelical radio stations, and they joined. And they reckoned that there would not be one country in the world that would not be receiving gospel through the airwaves. Actually, I think they're ahead of themselves. They're ahead of themselves. Interesting. The gospel will be preached around the world, then the end will come. The next portion, 13 to 23, deals with the fall of Jerusalem, okay? But it does prefigure the extra crisis that will happen just before Jesus comes again. For the sake of the elect, these days will be shortened, says Jesus, now looking forward to the end of all things. And then he gives three certainties about the second coming. When it comes, it will be number one, unmistakable, verse 27. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. You start and see lightning, and where's it started? And it goes bzzz. And he's trying to give a picture of everybody seeing the same lightning almost instantaneously. There will be celestial signs, the sun, the moon, the stars. The sun will fade out, the moon will cloud over, the stars will fall out of the sky, the cosmic powers will tremble. Eugene Peterson's rendering of verse 29. There will be unmistakable celestial signs. There will be unmistakable celestial sounds. The loud trumpet, whatever that is. Verse 31. There will be unmistakable celestial beings, angels. Verse 31. Angels were very obvious and busy and visible at the first coming of Christ. They will be very obvious and busy and visible at the second coming of Christ. And then the standard of the Son of Man will unfurl in the sky as he himself returns in splendor and power and glory. And of course, over and over again, it says he will come with clouds. That's the Shekinah glory. Whenever the immediate presence of God appeared, like the cloud in the desert, if you remember in the Old Testament, it was called the Shekinah glory. It accompanied the immediate presence of God. It was a visible manifestation of the invisible God.
That's Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. She'll be right back to answer some important questions about today's message. Did you know that with your smartphone, you can hear Telling the Truth daily programs? Get the Telling the Truth app today. Listen to messages, read and comment on blogs and devotions, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Find the Telling the Truth app in your app store or at tellingthetruth.org. And remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app or via text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Now let's chat with Jill about a few key ideas from today's message. Jill, when Jesus comes and takes believers to be with him, what will that really look like?
I have not a clue what that will look like, and nor has anyone else living on earth. I cannot imagine what the end of the world will be like. I mean, there's little tiny clues in the scriptures, but it's like seeing a sign on the side of the road, falling rock. I've always wondered what you're supposed to do with that sign, actually. But seeing the sign telling you it could happen is very different from the rock falling on your car and crushing you. Until it happens, none of us will really know what it feels like, looks like, is like. The thing to do is to be ready. I mean, Jesus said, occupy till I come, and don't worry about when. Just get busy working for me, and I'll come in my time and in my way.
Okay, I'm not going to beat around the bush. Should we be looking for Christ's second coming in our lifetime?
Well, we're told to be ready at any time, at any place. And remember, the first disciples expected Jesus to come back in their lifetime. He didn't. I have no idea. I'm not supposed to be thinking or answering questions like that. I'm supposed to be thinking of verses like, the time is short, the days are evil. Let's get the job done and let's get it finished. There are still millions of people that have never heard the name of Jesus once. I don't want him to come back until they've had a chance. because I know if many of them had a chance, they'd be in heaven with us. And so my job is to keep my head down and do everything I can to get the gospel for the whole world so that everybody has a chance to hear before he comes back.
Thanks, Jill. Right now, when you call and give to help Telling the Truth stay on the air so you and others can experience life in Christ, we'll say thanks with a new resource from Pete Briscoe, his 6-message teaching on the end times called How the Story Ends. From the rise and persecution among Christians to the increasingly chaotic world events, God's Word offers prophetic insight that's extremely relevant for today. But today is the last day of this special offer. So call now to get your copy of How the Story Ends. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Next week, the Briscoes share more powerful truth from God's Word. Experience life Monday on Telling the Truth.